Psychology and Christian Chastity. Faulty programs and texts on sex education in public and parochial schools have done irreparable damage to the minds and hearts of millions. The cause of much of this can be laid at the feet of gravely flawed psychology. Father Hutton's comprehensive analysis is so thorough, so clear, it should leave no doubt for any Catholic worthy of the name where the blame rests. Eternal Life is privileged to be the communications conduit through which at least part of a study he made for the Holy See is being revealed to Catholics of America. Please help us spread it far and wide. And join us in prayer to our Mother most pure, chaste, undefiled, and inviolate, begging her to intercede with her divine Son for the superabundant graces needed to perform a moral miracle to re-Christianize America. Father Hutton.
Good evening. Suppose we begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our conference for this evening is on psychology and Christian chastity. And our subtitle is A Catholic Evaluation of Sex Education. It must seem strange to associate two subjects like psychology and Christian chastity with a Catholic evaluation of sex education. My hope is that this conference will help you to see how these two issues are not only related, but one depends on the other. In the last 40 years, sex education, as it is popularly called, has become a staple diet in public schools in America. It has also become widely accepted in many professedly Catholic schools, from kindergarten through the eighth grade. For not a few parents, this has been one of the main reasons for joining the rising number of home education programs throughout the nation. My plan for this conference is first to briefly explain how secular psychology paved the way for introducing sex indoctrination into elementary education in the United States. Then in sequence, I wish to point out some of the main departures from historic Christian principles that have penetrated sex education, even in nominally Catholic institutions. Secular psychology and sexual inclinations. With few exceptions, modern psychologists consider any effort to, quote, control the sex impulses as repressive. The problem, they say, is that sex as an impulse is perfectly normal, natural, and indeed intended by nature as a source of deep personal pleasure. Religions like Christianity claim, so the psychologists tell us, claim that this impulse is bad, and therefore the urge to sexual pleasure must be repressed. experimental psychologists like Dr. Alfred Kinsey are literally honored as, and it's in print, patron saints of sex. Their books set in motion what we may call the first wave of the sexual revolution. They inspired the sexual philosophy of Hugh Hefner's Playboy magazine. Quoting Hefner, "We believe we are filling a publishing need only slightly less important than one just taken care of by the Kinsey Report." As you may remember, the Kinsey Report done at Indiana University was a result of several years' interviews with Indiana University students, both men and women. They were asked the most embarrassing and personal questions about their sexual behavior. They were assured anonymity. I repeat, thousands were interviewed. After the interviews were finished, two stout volumes were published by Dr. Kinsey. I still remember, and then 1995 was a lot of money. I paid $19.95 for each of these two volumes. Thick, over 500 pages. Page after page described how these young people, thousands of them, reply to the questions asked of them. And the net result, only one conclusion to the report. Most Americans, certainly most young Americans, up to 93% are sexually active long before they enter what we may call marriage. Notice, Playboy magazine was inspired by the Kinsey Report. It's just a logical, or shall I say, psychological consequence of that report. Since most Americans are sexually active before and outside of marriage, they need to have publications to support their emotional orientation. Another psychologist commented on Kinsey, I quote, "He is a giant on whose shoulders all sex researchers since his time have stood," unquote. And the Kinsey Institute on Sexual Research is active to this day, has profoundly affected the thinking of millions, and not just in the English-speaking world. We go on. If there is to be said that the strongest assault on sexual restraint in our country has not come, strange as it may seem, from pornographic streams, the pornographers, or from the popular culture, the strongest assault on sexual morality came from, shall we call them, the respectable scientists, especially in psychology and psychiatry. These experts, over the years now, have purported to show a wide divergence between real sexual behavior and the alleged publicly espoused norms of morality. By implication, therefore, the moral norms surrounding sex behavior need then and need now to be revised. In my judgment, the growing sex education of children from kindergarten on through every grade is part of this, shall I call it, crusade of moral revision. The reflections that follow will be drawn from a fairly common denominator of the religion textbooks used in Catholic schools to teach sex education. This is the first time I am publicly, shall I say, exposing my research. Months of research requested by the Holy See on sex education in America. I prayed, should I do it? And evidently I've decided I should. Please God, what I will share with you will reap spiritual benefits, not just for yourselves, but for those under whose influence you can exercise such power as only those who have the Christian faith in its totality can exercise, especially over the young. America, young America, is being hypnotized under the guise of advanced psychological science. First title, a strange one, Nestorian View of Christ. Yeah, there is one thing that distinguishes Catholic morality is the role of Jesus Christ as a model whom we are to imitate. But this imitation of Christ presumes that Jesus Christ is the living God who is the second person of the Holy Trinity become incarnate. On these premises, any tampering with Christ's divinity is to undermine Christian morality. Here, the morality of Christian chastity. Unless Jesus Christ is God who became man, Christian chastity is not only a mirage, it is a deadly poison for the human mind. Yet, what do we find? We find in these books in sex education a resurgence of the old Nestorian heresy, which claimed that Jesus was not a divine person, but rather a human person who was very close to God. On these terms, the Blessed Virgin is the mother of Jesus, but don't you dare say that she is the mother of God. Nestorius was condemned by the First Council of Ephesus in 431. Your Nestorian ideas have penetrated Christian history for the last 15 centuries. We return to a typical sex education textbook. All the familiar Nestorian terms are applied to Jesus Christ. The Savior's humanity is stressed, so stressed that he is no longer a divine person. It is important that children are told, I quote, to reflect on the fact that Jesus experienced life as a fully human person with his own male sexuality. He related to others, both men and women, as a man, unquote. Now I add, this sex education series has a bright, shiny imprimatur. There is never any question for the authors of this sex education series of distinguishing between Christ's sinless human nature and his all-knowing and almighty divine nature. Yet he is presented to the children to imitate, because, so the books tell them, he is human like the rest of us. Or as one of the sources recommended by the series says, Christianity can be described, I quote, as a schismatic Jewish sect founded by an obscure Galilean preacher named Jesus, unquote. Let me go on. Pelagian idea of grace. The authors and advisors of sex education textbooks for children do indeed give token acknowledgement to the Church's teaching on original sin. But they insist that human nature is basically unflawed. This opens the way to accusing present-day Catholics of not, quotes, catching up with the times. The following quotation is quite lengthy, but deserves, I think, to be given in full. Here's the quotation. This principle of the innate goodness of human nature lays to rest an error which has entered Christianity in its earliest days, namely, that the body lacked some basic quality or gift, such as goodness, grace, or redemption. According to this approach, the purpose of life was to overcome the tendencies or appetites of the bodily, seen as evil, inclinations, because they were at odds with the tendencies of the soul, seen as good. The relationship of body to soul was often described in terms of combat, and human perfection was described as the victory of the soul over the body. This viewpoint had great difficulty appreciating the incarnation, God's union with human flesh. The sacramental life of the Church in God's loving presence in physical creation. The consequences of this approach for an understanding of sexuality become obvious with a tendency to identify sexuality with a body. Sexual activity is regarded as something to be overcome rather than as something appreciated as a gift of God. The end result can easily cause anguish, suffering, and scrupulosity. Unquote. A passage from a widely used sex education textbook for children in Catholic schools. What's behind the quotation I just gave you? The untruthful allegation of the Catholic Church for centuries now had bought the error which identifies the body as something evil in contrast with a soul which is essentially good. This error was condemned by the Church. It is one of the features of the heresy of Manichaeism. And what the advocates in this sex education textbook are telling the children: don't you dare say or even think that man's nature needed a redemption. They go on. Having set up this straw man, the way then is cleared for the authors of this series, cleared for the sex educators to ignore the ravages of original sin in fallen human nature. The children are told to free themselves from the error of regarding sexual activity as something to be overcome rather than appreciated as a gift of God. Their teachers are themselves taught to ignore the constant need for supernatural help, which we call divine grace, to master the imperious demands of their sexual appetites. And this error, which are called Pelagian, as you know, Pelagius was the heretic who held that we do not need divine grace to reach heaven. Man's nature has not fallen. Original sin is a pure hypothesis. I cannot tell you how dearly I've paid over the years for insisting in my teaching and writing, insisting on the absolute necessity of God's grace to master our strong sexual and, we must say, fallen nature appetite. We continue. Indifference to sex stimulation. the prevalent sex education would have been unthinkable except in a society which has become morally callous to sex stimulation. The advisors and authors of sex education books provide erotic stimulation on every age and grade level for the children in Catholic schools. Their periodic comments about the dangers of pornography are useless when compared with a venereal stimulation which is built, and I mean it built into, these textbooks. To be stressed is that this stimulation is of the essence of present-day sex education. It can be said that instead of educating the young in Christian chastity, they are being trained in the practice of non-Christian sexual aberration. Building on their own assessment of human nature, the new educators do not hesitate to provide an avalanche of sex stimulation, not only to the children and adolescents, but to the teachers and parents as well, and I repeat, and the sex education begin in kindergarten. The children are told venereal terms must be learned and their meanings memorized. Pictures and sketches, examples and illustrations, physiological details, preoccupied with sexual activity, are the staple diet of young children, dear God, in Catholic schools be re-educated. What is notoriously missing is the most fundamental prudence that should characterize true Catholic instruction. What is obvious is indifference to the moral effects of, I don't hesitate calling it, a demonic, imprudent sexual stimulation. Our next and longest area of coverage, moral subjectivism. The writers of sex education programs are quite aware of the teaching of the Catholic Church on sins against chastity, and they are generally careful to refer to this teaching, even quoting from church documents.